Good evening, Rodney. Welcome to the Space Show.
Good evening. It's nice to be here.
We've all heard of the Hubble Space Telescope, and you've been here telling us a little bit about the Humble Space Telescope. What is that?
Well, it's important to get the difference between Humble and Humble very, very clearly explained. Humble is probably about a 3,000th of the cost of the Hubble Space Telescope. That probably gives you an idea what it is in essence. The idea is that we want to launch a small telescope, the sort of telescope that you might find on the back of astronomy magazines, attach it, integrate it with a small satellite, get it launched for, not very much money, we hope, stick it into Earth orbit, and make it available to amateur astronomers over the internet from their desktop PCs. So what we have in mind is that in a few years' time, amateur astronomers all over the world, especially Australia, would be able to set up a series of observations of variable stars or the moons of Jupiter or the surface of Mars or the craters of the moon, and they'd be able to set up a series of observations, send them off by email to our central processing facility at the National Space Science Centre in Leicester, and the Humble Space Telescope would eventually be programmed to make those observations and send the data back to the original amateur that wanted to do that set of observations. I mean, that in a nutshell is what we're up to. Realistically, what happens is we think we can get the telescope itself donated by a suitable manufacturer. We have already received a grant from the UK government. Surprising as it might seem, we've actually been given money by the UK government to build a prototype spacecraft, and that is now being constructed by a small spacecraft builder in the United Kingdom, Space Innovations Limited. And we are negotiating with the National Space Science Centre to operate a control centre and a data processing centre as part of their National Space Science Centre. So we're beginning to see that we've got the kit of parts to put this program together. As far as launches are concerned, one of the reasons why I'm in Australia is to see whether Kistler Aerospace and the Woomera Range can combine together to put the Humble Space Telescope into Earth orbit for us. It's a program which has a certain amount of momentum now. I mean, we've been given, in Australian dollars equivalent, it's, 1.5 million Australian dollars equivalent to build a prototype spacecraft. That's government money. We don't have any money to buy a launch vehicle, and we don't have any money to build the data processing control centre, but, you know, for those of us who've had this idea, that's already a pretty good way down the track. And indeed, I think we have good possibilities of bringing in some what you might call commercial sponsorship. It might be various types of assistance to get the job done. As far as Kistler's concerned, for instance, one might imagine that a spacecraft of this type could be a payload of opportunity done at a fairly cheap rate, perhaps done on a test launch. As far as satellite control facilities are concerned and the data processing centre, we have some significant possibilities here with the Leicester University National Space Science Centre, which in itself has received a huge grant from government. This is, in Australian dollars, $75 million of national lottery money. We have a huge national lottery in the UK which churns out the most amazing figures each week. I can't even begin to tell you what they are. The first prize is tens of millions of pounds, which is, you know, $30 million. But that's only a small part of the total income to the lottery, and the most part of the income is actually churned out to good causes. And one of the good causes that got selected by the National Lottery people a couple of years ago was this National Space Science Centre, which is a very, very exciting project too. I think I'd have to recommend that Australia has a national lottery and starts churning out money to these sorts of programs. It works. It's very, very interesting indeed. But we're hoping that the National Space Science Centre will be our home for, a control center and a data processing center. And they won't have to build a control center just for us, because they will have other satellites, other small satellites to track as well. So we can just be, one of a group of users, and thereby sharing the costs of tracking and control and data processing. But we really feel that in a few years' time, amateurs will have the opportunity to say, right, I want to watch the moons of Jupiter over a period of a month, and I want to take pictures every day or every certain period. And then, in other words, they can do some really good scientific research. This would be fantastic for, say, school children in their final couple of years at school, to actually be engaged in real research without actually spending very little money. We're probably going to have to base Humble on people who want observations, being paying a small amount of money, but nothing huge. It might be $10 for a set of observations or something like that. Some token contribution to the costs of doing it. The sort of thing that you'd expect to be almost within the family budget for giving a son or daughter an exceptional opportunity to do research. And indeed, we think that there are probably opportunities where amateurs can do research which is left behind by the advancing wavefront of leading-edge professional astronomy. I'm sure there are many examples where amateurs can do observations which professionals don't have the time and resources to do. And indeed, we'd be very interested to hear from listeners to this program about the sort of observations that they would like to do if they had the chance. As long as they can be done from a 15-centimetre telescope in Earth orbit, which has an advantage anyway over a telescope on the ground, because you're not looking through the atmosphere, we will have a little bit of infrared capability and a little bit of ultraviolet capability to extend the normal visible wave band into wave bands that you don't normally get to see on the surface of the Earth. Total cost of mission, if you paid for everything, we think we can do it for about $10 to $15 million Australian dollars. And as I've told you, we've already had a grant from the UK government of $1.5 million Australian to get us started. And we think there are a series of other partners who can not necessarily give us money, but give us services in kind, which, of course, as you know, often makes the difference between failing to get anywhere and succeeding in your objectives.
Is there any chance that Australian students could order pictures from the satellite, and how would they get them?
I'd be very disappointed if Australia wasn't up there on day one, banging in the requests. Look, this is going to be done by the internet. We'll have a worldwide website. A person at home on their PC with a modem or connected to cable will be able to go to the website, look through the notes about how to define a set of observations. They will then go to another page and they will see a guide about how to tell us what they want to do, where they want to point, how long they want to point for, what wave band they want to have the filter set to, those sorts of things. And they will then define the program, and they will probably download that instruction. We will look at it, or our computer system will look at it and decide whether it's doable or not, or whether Humble is likely to be able to do that set of observations in the next month. We will either confirm it or partially confirm it, or put it in a list of things to be considered later. There's a whole range of things you can do with that request. But eventually, perhaps the observer at home, sitting in his armchair with his desktop exploration kit, will get an invitation to formally approve that set of observations. We'll probably want a few dollars to make the observations go ahead, because we'll probably have to pay for some costs. And then the observation data would be sent back via the internet. It might be a Word 6 attachment or a spreadsheet whatever the observations are, we will have a medium over the internet to send those observations back to the individual. And then it's a question of taking those observations to school or using them in the home, presenting them in whatever way the student or the amateur astronomer wants to. I mean, there's a whole variety of ways in which that can be done. And one of the things that your association could do is to perhaps run competitions in several states for people to to think up an observation program and to present their results. Perhaps you could have a yearly conference where young people and older people could present their results to peer review groups. You know, the university academics in each state, and you could perhaps sponsor a winner and get a good coverage, a good awareness throughout the community of. The unique excitement that comes from being able to make space observations.
When are you looking towards having this launched, assuming that you can find a launch provider?
Well, as I say, we're underway with building a prototype spacecraft. That's not one that can fly. That's one that has a lot of the same design principles as the one that would fly, but won't be a flight quality. I guess we'll be at the end of that program by the end of this year. We're told by the small space system architect, Space Innovations Limited, that they could build one. They could build a flight model within a year if the prototype works out and survives all its tests. I suppose really what we're saying is that we will need, I think quite soon, my colleague and I will start to knock on the door of the doors of the launch service providers and see what opportunities there are, say in late 2000, early 2001. And if we can find somebody who's prepared to give us a fairly cheap launch, or preferably free launch, please, then we would arrange our satellite construction program to fit that launch opportunity, and we'd also start then to work on the computing interface and all the other ground systems that we would need in order to serve literally hundreds of thousands of customers worldwide. Because they would have to be customers. They would have to contribute a few dollars in order to make this system work. But it would all be done as a charity and a non-profit-making organization.
Well, thank you for joining us on the Space Show, and we certainly hope that this gets up and running, and if it does, we'll certainly be involved and inviting our listeners to become part of that network.
Excellent. Look forward to seeing it.